business rock stars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Joining us today, my old friend Trevor Price. Hi, Trevor.
How are you, Pat?
How are you? Good to see you, man.
Good, man.
Now, Trevor played in the NFL for how many years?
14 years.
14 years. Yeah. And now he's in the media business with Koolapari. We'll get to that in a minute. And you write, you produce, you idea-ize.
Yeah, very good. Now it is.
It is now. how did you go from the NFL to creativity in Hollywood?
The first thing I would tell people is, look, I was blessed with fast twitch muscles and adamantium for bones. So I was born like this. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, what was my career path going to be? It was either football or superhero, and superhero doesn't pay well. So I wrote a lot when I was a kid because Batman comic books, not like now, they came out once a month. And when you read it in 3 minutes, guess what? You had another 30 days to wait for the next one. I'd write my own. I'd write my own. I did that for a long time when I was a kid.
How many times did you use the word pow?
None. I used bang a lot.
Yeah, bang,
right,
pow,
right,
yeah.
Punch. But when I got older and when I got to NFL, in college, I started writing movie scripts. Mm. Watching Quentin Tarantino movies and going, "Oh, I can do that." No, I cannot. Mm. But when I got to NFL, you have a job. But my job gave me 6 months, a year off, and in those 6 months, I became that same kid that wrote the Batman comics. You know what I mean? I started writing my own stuff.
Well, how did you think you could do that, Trevor?
A lot of I have time, mm-hmm. money. And I have nothing to do. You know what I mean? And it was literally like...
I mean, I know a lot of people have time, money,
well, they need to find something to do. And I always kept saying, that looks like fun. But it's also a competitive thing.
But you're talented.
I would like to say that. You know what I mean? But it's also a competitive thing. My talent is how to compete. Oh, I can do that better than him. I can do that better than her. I can do that. Why can't I do that? And that's kind of what it was.
Yeah. And that's a good way to do it because there is something about having a big ego. By the way, you shouldn't listen to your ego, but having a big grandiosity.
Yeah.
Is sometimes, especially in Hollywood, is good.
Yeah,
and it pays well.
But also in business, right? Because it's kind of like, what is not out there? What hasn't been done? What can I add to this? You know what I mean? And it's kind of saying to yourself, I want to play in the PGA Senior Tour in 10 years. I'm 40, right? So I can play it on 50. I am not that good at golf, but I'm going to try.
Right? Just to be there.
Because, that's kind of where it came from. And all of a sudden, that morphed into a business almost overnight.
Yeah. When you got your first, what was your first success?
My first idea.
Not football.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going. My first idea was actually given to me by my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
When she was probably about 4 years old. My oldest daughter, 4 or 5, went to a bookstore. And she said, I wish I could read all these books at once. And I was like, that'd make a funny movie. So I had that idea, and I literally looked. I was like, I want to make a movie. I got some kind of directive from somewhere, and I looked at every movie studio. I looked at who's at the top, because I'm not calling the guy at the bottom. I don't have time for that. I have 6 months. Got to call the guy at the top. So I called the president of Sony, Doug Belgrad. And he was like, I know who you are. You should come see me, because he wants to talk to the football player.
Yeah. That's the great thing
as
about
a football,
sports.
As any sport, softball player, track, if it doesn't matter. You can get anybody on the phone one time. I got him on the phone once. I said, I have an idea. He said, come see me. I gave them a pitch. I never pitched anything in my life. I told him the stupid story I made up. He bought it in the room.
What were your first disappointments or setbacks?
So the same thing. So after I sold that first idea to Sony, I made up another one, sold it to Disney. I was like, I'm 2 for 2. This is easy. 2 years, nothing sold. Nothing. Like I had all these ideas. And I found out very quickly, all these ideas is not what anybody wants to hear. They want to hear one. Are you focused enough? Are you hyper-focused on your one?
Don't they want to hear a new one, Trevor?
Right.
Or not a redo of an old one, unless it's Star Wars.
Right, unless it's Star Wars. But it's kind of like, if you come in juggling all these things, you're just playing to a person that just happens to have that job.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's not like, very easy with a coin flip, we could have been reversed. He could have been, I could have been over there listening to you pitch your stupid ideas at me. But what I realized very quickly is if you have something that you are passionate about, whatever it is, in business, media, sports, whatever it is, and you carry around that one thing, you will eventually get there. I promise you. you'll eventually get there.
And getting in the door, we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, we are here to inspire, get in the door, inform, and connect entrepreneurs all over the world. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars, and our guest is Trevor Price. You know, I used to do a show called How'd They Do That?
Yeah.
And we sold it, pretend this is glass, and we took a peach vodka with a peach inside the glass.
Right.
And I set it down and said, how'd they do that? And he said, 10 episodes. So you have to...
There you go. Easy enough, right?
The idea has to be new, and it has to be different.
Right.
And the pitch has to be right.
The pitch has to be right.
I would have said, look, do you know how a
peach gets it. I sold an idea at ABC, and I walked in. I had one sentence. And Mark Gordon and Company bought it at one sentence, and I was like, I'm done talking. I'm going to leave now. They were like, no, tell us more. I was like, there is no more. That's all I have, right?
Well,
they bought it. They bought it because not only was the sentence was good, but my pitch was like, if you can't see the rest of it, if I'm like your TV show, or even like the Tesla, right, the car, if you can't see the future of electric car, me and you no longer have a conversation to have.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, how do you know? I mean, there's got to be some sort of, how do you know? What if you're wrong?
Some of it is research. A lot of it is, and usually I'm not wrong.
We've been through this.
But usually it's some kind of research, right? Mm-hmm. So I would never go
in. What if
in.
You're overconfident?
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to say yes to me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But I've yet to go to any pitch, business-wise, and I was once a partner in an ad agency. I started a .com with my friends that we sold for a bunch of money. I've done a bunch of things, but what you're not going to do is walk out of the meeting with me and say, well, that was stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've done my research, so it isn't stupid.
And that's the thing. I always, Trevor Price is our guest from Kulapari. What does that mean?
It means poison in Aboriginal language. So in Aboriginal language, every tribe, they speak a different language.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was creating this, I emailed a professor of Aboriginal studies in Toronto, and he gave me 13 ways to say poison, because it was about poisonous frogs fighting
mm-hmm. right.
scorpions and lizards and spiders, all poisonous creatures. And one of them was Kulapari. So that's what I picked.
It's a new one on me. I like it too, by the way.
Thank you.
What are the three things you would tell entrepreneurs that they have to have? Money, sure, but
right.
confidence, passion, right. that sort of thing.
Right. I would say confidence. You have to know your idea is good. You know, and it's going to be past. There's going to be setbacks. But if you are hyper-focused on it and you think it's good, all you need is somebody to say yes. You need one yes. Out of 1,000 no's, you need one yes. And that one yes, God knows it'll lead to. That's the biggest thing I would say.
And you haven't. I mean, you have to have patience to wait for that yes. Apparently, you've been successful early, but
yeah.
I mean, you have to have that patience.
No, you do. You have to have that patience. But as long as you're still working. So what you can't do is have your idea, and then say, okay, the only thing I'm gonna do is try to sell my idea. You don't have to do that. The world works there. We have a digital world. Google, find out what to do next on your own.
What are the things as an entrepreneur? That you absolutely have to get out of the way before it drives you crazy?
Your family. Now, let me see. I think you have to get some of the failure out of the way. You have mm-hmm. to get some of the no's out of the way. You know, have to get some of the people to say...
Or I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts.
Yeah, right, 100%. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think you have to find them and have them tell you. And what happened with Kulapari was the more people I talked to, the more free development I got. You know what I mean? They were like, well, it needs this. Good, right?
Right?
And he's that. Oh, really? Wonderbar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it kind of came free notes and things like that. Because if it's good enough, you'll get some nuggets of information here or there. And I think you have to get that out the way.
And that's the key thing is listening. I mean, you can be 100%. So full of yourself, which you are and I am.
Right.
But you got to listen at some point.
Absolutely. And what I try to do is listen to people that would be...
And by the way, full of yourself in a good way.
In a good way, right? Because I believe in my idea. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And if you don't believe in an idea, who the hell else is going to believe in it?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think when you start listening to people that are smarter than you, right? And even this to like my son, for instance, my son is 10 years old. He has helped me with Kulapari beyond belief.
Well, they have a different vision.
They have a different vision, yeah. right? And sometimes I show him things. I've shown him the 13 episodes, and as they were being made, he was watching little pieces and snippets of animation and whatnot. And he's like, hey, why doesn't that do this and do this? And I'd be like, yep, I'm putting that in the thing. You know what I mean? So you have to find a way to listen as much as you talk. talk as well. You know what I mean? But you need people to listen to you as well.
Right. After money, is finding the right people the most important thing? Wait, after money and your own compassion.
Right. You know, I wish I could say yes, but because my company, Outlook Company, has one employee and you're looking at him. I have no other employees. Everything I've done, them by myself. And I feel that's important to do because I can't learn a business unless you do it all yourself. It's kind of like the guy.
Would you suggest that to other entrepreneurs?
I would.
You would?
100%, and I don't care what you're making.
Good luck to you, man.
Thanks, man.
Always good to see you.
It.
Good to see you. Trevor Price. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs all over the world. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.
A new poll says more Americans approve of President Trump than they do the big media. That's why millions are tuning in to Newsmax TV, America's new conservative channel. On Newsmax TV, see Bill O'Reilly, Pat Buchanan, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Reagan, and more. Bill O'Reilly's No Spin News Show is on Newsmax TV. Get it on DirecTV Channel 349, Xfinity 1115, Dish 216, U-verse 1220, Fios 615, and Spectrum. Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to the show. Now over to Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs all over the world. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome back. Trevor Price is our guest. How important is it, Trevor, in the creativity business to know everything? To know this part, that part, that part?
I think it's the most important thing. I think it's almost more important than the idea itself. Because if you're not able to somehow talk that language to the composer, to the designer, to the person that's illustrating.
Talk their language.
To talk their language. Then you will never get what you have inside your brain out onto paper. And only way you learn how to talk their language is try to do it yourself, right? So when it comes to composing, not everybody's a musician, but you can look for composers online, listen to their music, different cues, learn what the emotions for this instrument, that instrument. You don't have to be the one actually playing.
Right, well, as Oscar Wilde said, you have to be a musician, but everybody's got music in them.
Yeah, 100%, right? So, and then it goes to the illustration. So Kulapar is animated. I can't draw. Everybody knows that. But my eye tells me what I want to see, and instead of trying to tell somebody that, I find what that looks like, then show them that.
And there's ways around. Larry Bird couldn't jump. Wayne Gretzky couldn't skate. I mean, you know, there are ways around
all
that.
Absolutely.
Trevor Price, from football to animation. Do you watch Pixar and Disney and all that?
I watch all of it.
And what do you think? What do you think of the way it's going? I mean, the technology is so spectacular.
The technology is spectacular, but it's so spectacular that none of it amazes people anymore. Now, you know, a 10-year-old, he grew up in this world, right? So when he sees a car crash into a volcano and all that, that's nothing to him. When I was a kid, if that happened, it was like, my son watched a Predator the other day, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Predator. I don't know where he got, but we watched it, and he watches all Arnold's movies. He watched it, and I remember telling him, I told him, that point where the Predator came out of the water and he was disappearing and all that, that freaked everybody out, right? He was like, whatever. But
seen
it 1,000 times. So what's happening is, my point is, it's going the other way now. It's the fact that the story is now important to these kids because the spectacle is what they expect.
And that's the other thing. Trevor Price is our guest. And, you know, you can't talk down or up when you're presenting an idea, right? How do you do that? What are the steps to take to just be steady?
I think a lot of it has to do with don't feed the person you're talking to. Don't feed them too much. Don't feed them too little, right? You have to leave something to the imagination. It's almost like a nightgown, right? Mm-hmm. And what I always try to do is I never try to when I'm pitching something, an idea or something like that, or whatever, business thing, I don't think the audience is dumber than I am. I think the person I'm sitting across from is just as smart as I am, if not smarter.
That's a good trait.
And when you do that, you get somewhere.
Muhammad Ali and I used to have this trick where you do
Muhammad Ali and I used to have, I'm like, okay, now I've tuned out whatever you're about to say. I'm like, wow.
We used to go like this. If you could make that noise, you weren't nervous. And he would always make that noise in my ear. Yeah. Are you nervous about interviewing the world champion? You know? And right before he fought Trevor Burbick, I went up to him. We were friends. Yeah. I went up to him and I did that. And he couldn't do it because he was nervous. Mm. The point is, you can't go in with any real emotions other than excitement.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you can't go in nervous. Can't let him see you sweat.
Absolutely. You know, no, because
or shake.
Know, no, because if you do, that means you don't really believe in your idea.
Right, you're dead.
You have to believe. I mean, it has to be like, this is my child, right? This is my only child. And I'm going to give you a chance to be in my child's life. If you don't want to be in my child's life, fine, I'll go find another mother or father. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm giving you a chance. And there's I've never taken any of my kids in real life to any of the sporting events and been nervous. You know what I mean? Not because of win or lose. I don't care if you win or lose. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is we're here. You know what I mean? So whether or not I go to a pitch, believe me, many of my ideas have been passed on. Kulapari was passed on several times. And I was like, that's the biggest mistake you've ever made. Either wrong or right, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I had to think like that.
And you have an advantage as a former professional, as a professional athlete, because preparation is a big thing.
Huge thing.
Talk to me about the two or three things that are the most important part of preparation. For a pitch, an idea, or whatever.
First of all, you have to know who you're talking to. So you cannot go into an animated meeting. I couldn't go to Disney, for instance, and say, I'm going to kill off the main character in 3 years. I'm like, what? Get out of here, right?
So we're going to kill Shrek.
We're going to kill Shrek. You know, then what are we going to replace him at? I don't know. That's not my problem, right? So what you can do is not know who your audience is. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is you have to know what they want to buy and what they want to sell. Because I've been to many pitch meetings for any business.
Or market.
I'm sorry. They say, yes, this is great, but what we need to do is turn that into a comedy. And this happened. Because I sold Kulapari to Cartoon Network. And at the time, Cartoon Network was having a big resurgence with Adventure Time and Gumball and all these really funny, goofy cartoons. Kulapari is not funny and goofy, right? I'm like, I'm going to stab these frogs with poisonous stingers. Like, this is what it is. I can't make poisonous animals.
That's what Kulapari is.
Poison. That's a cooler poison, right? They were like, no, we're going to make a comedy. And I was like, skirks. No, we're not. You know what I mean? And that's when it ended. So you have to be able to know what they want and how they want to market it. Because even if they like your idea, they could turn left or right. If you're okay with that, that's fine. I wasn't.
How do you plan, Trevor Price, for the future? In other words, marketing made me think of it. Because every movie now has some marketing attached to it. Either it's a toy or a spear or poison. Trevor's not selling poison, by the way, or violence.
Not
he's just showing it.
Yet.
Yeah. Right. But how do you what are the steps to plan for the future? We talked about VR.
Yeah. So what I've done is gone to the companies that I know or I feel like they represent Kulapari well. So Under Armour, for instance. I live in Maryland. Under Armour is a Maryland company. Mm-hmm. Their former head of marketing lives around the corner from me. So I went to them, and being in football, I could have been an Under Armour guy. I wasn't. I was a Nike guy.
Right.
But they were the first to really do the alter ego thing with Batman and Superman t-shirts and do it at high end. So they knew that business very well. So I went to them and said, listen, let's try Kulapari. Because I've made up the Kulapari has four insignias. There's a scorpion insignia, a frog insignia, a lizard one, a spider one, and they look like athletic football.
Did they all die?
So they all look like mascots, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, let's put these on t-shirts. Let's test it out, see how it does. It did phenomenal, and there was 9 t-shirt designs, and 5 of them sold out. So there's a whole new line coming out in August, which is hats and shorts and tights for girls.
Right.
All this Kulapari
and
stuff.
And you got to think of everything, right? I mean, let's talk about that for a couple minutes because. It's not just about the idea. No. It's about the steps to get the idea out to the public and for the public to call their neighbors and say, you got to see this or buy this.
Absolutely. And that's what you have to be very careful in who you partner with. If you get to that point, right, And luckily, I did. No, no, trust me. People want to look at this and say, this guy's crazy. No, I'm lucky I got to that point. But my idea was good, right? But I also took time and said, okay, Under Armour, Netflix, brand.
So you had a list.
I had a list. Mm-hmm. I had a list. I went straight down the list. And after the list was stopped, there was no other clothing company.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs all over the world. This is Business Rockstars, back in a minute.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap, inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and joining me is Jordan Plosky, the co-founder and CEO of Comic Blitz. It's great to have you on the show, bro.
Thanks for having me here, Mark.
What is Comic Blitz?
Comic Blitz essentially is the Netflix of digital comic books. So customers pay $10 a month for all they could read, unlimited access to thousands of comics and graphic novels.
So normally when people come on the show, they have a business that they created out of a desire and a need or a want to solve a problem in their own life. Is this something that happened for you?
Well, my life before entrepreneurship, I was a touring musician.
Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, still, I'll relate it to the comic book world as well.
First of all, what did you play? Sing, guitar, drums?
I was a professional drummer.
Okay, awesome.
And I toured with A-list artists, you know, around the country, around the world. And one of my things I loved to do when I was home was go to the library and pick up some graphic novels, discover some new books. And then, of course, I could always bring that book back to the library. But when I was traveling around the country and not in the same city for more than a night or two, it's really hard to go to the library and then pick out a book because I can't return it. So I figured, well, how can I bring the library to me? And then, of course, how can we do that for everybody who doesn't have access to a library or just can't be in the same place for too long of a stretch of a time?
So that sparked the idea for Comic Blitz?
It pretty much did, yeah.
So have you been into comic books for your whole life? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was a...
What led you to choosing comic books is the thing.
Definitely not the money, I'll tell you that. I don't know, when I was a kid, it's... To use,
Passion of yours?
Yeah, it's a little double entendre. It was imprinted on me when I was young. Okay. You know, when I was like 11 years old and superhero comic books, I would just sit in my bedroom and read them and I would trade them with my friends and stuff like that. But I just love the stories and the escapism and always thinking, you know, when you're a young teenager, you have problems and then you open up a book and you see like these guys are saving the world. And those are real problems and it put my problems into perspective for me.
So if you were in a rock band, you were the drummer, you were traveling around being a rock star, what's the craziest thing you ever did?
I don't think I could say it on this show.
Give us one of the toned down ones.
All right, so one of the coolest things I've ever done was for New Year's Eve, I think it was 2011, I played with an artist and we were on the main stage in Times Square.
Can you talk about the craziest artist you've ever played with, or the biggest or the coolest?
Well, this one was a million people got to see us perform live in Times Square.
So what was that like? How'd that feel?
There's no feeling like it. I had my wife on stage with me and we got to kiss as the ball dropped.
That's amazing.
You know, in Times Square, we had police protection and just, we got to come and go as we please while everyone else is kind of squished in there and, you know, for hours and hours and freezing their butts off. You know, I mean, it was a once-in-a-lifetime amazing experience.
It sounds like it.
Absolutely.
Did you always have the entrepreneurial drive inside of you, or is that something that came later in life? You were a rock star, yeah, always playing drums, but when did you decide to become a rock star entrepreneur?
So here's the thing. I think I did, but I didn't know it until after I was done playing music. So
what caused the spark or the trigger? I think everybody has something.
Of professional musicianship or
to shift into being an entrepreneur.
You said
it was always inside of you, but something must have triggered or sparked it.
Yeah, well, number one, not wanting to work for anybody else. That was a big thing. After I was done touring, I quit touring life because I was missing my daughter grow up, actually. I mean, I have a six-year-old daughter right now, but at the time she was two, and I was gone that whole year more than I was home, and I was really missing my kid, missing my wife, and I chose my family over that career.
Good choice.
Thank you. And
you did the right thing.
But the thing was, for being successful in that industry for so long, I was on my own. I was busting my butt, making connections, networking, finding those gigs, because no one else was doing it for me. You have to get out there to find your own work, to be great at what you do. And one of the other things that people don't talk about enough is you just have to be able to get along with people. And all those experiences—
It's not easy for some people.
That's so true. But all those experiences that I took from not just being a musician, but in business for myself as a musician, all translated to entrepreneurship and that hustle that you have to have, because you're fighting the battle by yourself. And I guess I've been doing it for longer than I even imagined, essentially.
Yeah. What was your favorite part about being a drummer? I played guitar for 10 years. So what was your favorite part about playing drums? Going to the beat, the rhythm, rocking out.
The funny thing is, now that I don't do that anymore, the thing that I miss the most is not playing in front of thousands of people, is not traveling around and touring. It's just getting together with a bunch of people and playing music. That I miss.
The connection that you get from that?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in front of anybody. It's just
the band.
Yeah, just playing, riffing, jamming, or playing a song that everybody knows and having fun with it.
What was the biggest lesson you took away from that? I mean, there's got to be a list. That's such an insane experience most people will never have. What was one of the best lessons or biggest lessons that really you've carried with you throughout your life?
Yeah, I think number one was know your place.
What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, as a drummer, I get it from a band perspective, but what do you mean?
No, well, my first professional gig that I had, I thought I was the artist. I thought I deserved everything that this artist was getting, and I was young. And
when you were opening for somebody, essentially?
No, I mean, I was the drummer for the established artist. So he's the guy on all the pictures. He's the guy, that all the girls are at the show to see. I thought, because I'm a part of this now, I should be getting all the same stuff. And it takes a big person to admit that, but hey, rookie mistake. I didn't learn until a couple gigs later, like, hey, shut up, listen, learn, know your place, speak up, maybe sometimes when it's appropriate. Yeah. Otherwise, like, you have a role to do.
You have a role in a lane to stay in.
Fill it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about that and putting your ego on the shelf for a second. Yeah. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me is, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Jordan Plosky. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Comic Blitz.
Give us a quick recap. Comic Blitz?
Oh, we are the Netflix of digital comics. For less than the price of one graphic novel, have access to thousands at your fingertips, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For the people out there who like comic books, sounds like you've got that solved for them.
One of the things about digital comics is they're so expensive. They're the same price as a print comic.
How much does one cost? I have no idea.
So probably when we were kids, a single issue print comic was probably about a dollar.
Okay.
Back in the day, it was like 10 cents. Now it's $4.
Wow, and yours is $10 a month?
Exactly, for thousands. And you can read all of them. You have access to all of them.
That's the new model nowadays, though, right? Everybody's shifting into that. The Netflix or the Uber of everything, right?
Exactly. And not to promote someone else, but I did see a few articles now on this company that if you pay a monthly fee, you can rent a Rolex once a month.
Wow.
So the subscription services for everything. Right.
I love that. So we were talking about ego for a second there. Yeah. You shared a great example of how when you were the drummer, you had, the rock star and the true artist, so to speak, who's the cover and the singer and everyone's right, and you're the drummer. So you learned a lesson from that, which I think is huge, which is putting your ego on the shelf. Do you have anything else to add on to that topic there? Because I think that's a huge lesson.
Well,
staying in your lane.
Yeah, and it comes over. Even if you're the CEO, even if you're running your own company, sure.
How does it correlate to that as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, well, number one, with partnerships, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You can't just walk in thinking that you're the man, even though you're the CEO, which sounds great and everything.
Everyone should technically be better than you at their role. You should not be as smart as your marketer, because then you shouldn't have hired them.
Exactly. Well, I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is, so we have publishing partners, they're content providers for us. Mm. And I can't just walk in saying, I'm the CEO of Comic Blitz. You know, we're going to do X, Y, and Z for you. Yeah. Give me your content. They're going to look at me like, who are you? So that's about checking your ego at the door. Now, getting back to building a team, absolutely. I'm not a tech guy. I'm more of a business development, networking kind of guy. I can't code, I'm not gonna build an app. So you're right, I have someone that does that way better than I ever could. My marketing person, I love her more than anything. She's so smart, she's so passionate,
yeah.
And there's no way I could do the job that she's doing either.
And that means you did a good job hiring.
I really think so. I'm so fortunate with the team I put together. Not to put myself down by any means, but.
No, but a great CEO is supposed to build a team of people smarter than them. That's really it.
Absolutely.
And then make sure that everyone's staying in their lane and you come up with the vision and find the best people to help you accomplish that. You agree?
Yeah, but I think as a CEO, one of the strongest things that you can do is learn how to delegate.
Yes.
And not take on.
Delegate and outsource. That's the key.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm still there to oversee everything. If a final decision is needed, it's still my company, still my vision. But as far as doing all the legwork until we get to that final stage, yes, my marketing person handles that. My CTO handles that. My CFO handles that.
What's been the hardest part on your entrepreneurial journey? There's obviously ups and downs and pitfalls. And sometimes people fall into a really dark place as an entrepreneur. Maybe when their business failed or they lost a loved one on their journey and then they crash financially or their health. Has there been a place in your life where you hit a really dark time? Could you take us to there?
Probably multiple times. I mean, and that's what happens.
Take us to one of them. Give us an example.
Yeah, well.
People relate to this stuff. I want to hear like this one time, you know, sure. I had this terrible thing happen in my life and here's how it affected me. But here was the lesson from that. Here's how I got back.
So this wasn't necessarily something that happened outside of the business. This was something we were this close to closing a deal with a content provider that would have been a huge boost to us. Mm. And all signs were looking good. And all of a sudden, as I'm waiting for the contract to be signed, all the terms have been worked out. I mean, we're done just
you're
waiting
at the finish
for a signature.
Line, yeah.
All of a sudden, I get an email. Hey, can we talk? And I know it can't be good.
That's never good.
So the deal goes away. And of course, I'm crushed.
Yeah. You're already imagining all the stuff that could have happened had it gone through.
You know what? And you kind of have to. You kind of have to visualize it happening. I mean, that's a whole other topic.
That's what you do.
But when that happened, I mean, I was crushed for a couple of days. And it's one of those things when you're starting a business, it's two steps forward, one step back all the time. Like it's never just 50 steps forward. There's
always it's hard to project in business.
There's always going to be setbacks and it's.
There's so many variables you can't control.
True. And it's not if there's going to be setbacks. There are going to be setbacks. And it's if you have the temperament to handle those setbacks and just move past it anyway.
Right now, something that changed my business is we call it media inception for a dollar a day. You go on Facebook, super easy, I'm walking you through it now. You go on Facebook, you take your article link, you copy and paste it on your fan page, not your regular page where you get friend requests, your fan page where you get likes.
Sure.
You go on your fan page, you copy and paste the link.
Okay.
Could be Huffington Post or whatever.
Sure.
You say, hey, check out this new article about X, Y, and Z, how to generate and convert more leads. Just post it on Huffington Post, right? Or Wall Street Journal or Forbes. Then you go boost post, click boost. Then you go, you know, keep it broad, 18 to 65, unless you really know your target audience.
Sure.
18 to 65, people that work at and are interested in
comics.
Other media or comics.
Sure.
So, you know, the way that I've been on Forbes, Entrepreneur, Inc., Wall Street Journal, Huffington Post, all those huge publications is when I got my first one, I did this. I posted it on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I boosted it specifically to all the people that are journalists and work at other media companies.
That's excellent.
And then there's only 100, 200, 300, 400 people. And so I boost the post to them. Mm-hmm. And after they see it, they're going to want to write about it. And so I've been in every single publication. Once I got my first one,
that's
I just
smart.
Paid a dollar a day to put it in front of all the employees at all the other companies.
That's brilliant.
So when you guys get your first one or you have a couple right now.
I'm absolutely taking that strategy.
That's it. Put it on their Facebook fan page, copy and paste it, and boost it to the employees that work at other publications you want to be in. And only the employees that work there will see it. And then they'll reach out to you and say, hey, I saw your thing here. I'd love to write an article about you.
Amazing.
It's super simple and easy, right?
Yeah.
All right. Last question as we come up to a wrap on our segment here.
Sure.
You can't leave anything, no assets, no real estate, no money, nothing to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
What's the only advice you leave her with?
Hard work will get you where you're going, and I hope she becomes an entrepreneur. As hard and as difficult as this as this is, the only thing I really see being able to like make a true living where you can be happy because you're not listening to some other boss or something
lifestyle
like that.
Lifestyle by design, right?
Exactly. I'll say no more.
Jordan, it's been a pleasure, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Audrey Bellis. She is the founder of Startup DTLA, as well as the founder of Worthy Women. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
So we both know as entrepreneurs, right? The ups and the downs, the failures, the successes, the lessons learned from all of those. The biggest fear of all of us, deep down inside, is our fear of not being worthy. Right. And one of the things that I think holds people back from becoming an entrepreneur or from really living the life that they're capable of, their full potential, and having the quality of life and the abundance in their life that we're all capable of achieving, yeah. The thing that really holds us back, I think, is our fear of success. Because if we fail, which achieving success in anything, we're going to fail. Meaning we're going to learn on our way. But the reason why we're afraid of failure is because if we fail, it means we're not worthy enough.
Right.
And so self-worth is something that I know both of us have struggled with at some point in our life. And when we finally gave ourselves the gift of knowing that we're worthy, no matter what, that was when it all changed for us. And we've both been on rocket ships to success and have our own businesses. And so I'm curious from your perspective, I know you have an amazing story about how you triumphed over the adversity of not feeling worthy and just kind of the adversity that comes along with the entrepreneurship. So take us to that point in your life, and you know which one I'm talking about when you had that challenge and you had that adversity and how you triumphed over that, because I think it's really incredible.
I actually had a broken engagement that left me 6 figures in debt, and the only way I was ever going to pay that off was by becoming an entrepreneur, not by getting a job, so I wouldn't be paying it off forever. And I had to really dig deep and find my self-worth for that because I was embarrassed and ashamed at the amount of money that I owed, the situation that I had put myself in. And what did that mean for me as an entrepreneur? Am I worthy of going out and asking for people's business when I had gotten myself into such a predicament? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that journey of discovering my self-worth really helped me to get to where I am today. And now I get to teach people how to find theirs.
So why do you think, I kind of touched on, in my own opinion, what I think it is, but why do you think most people struggle with self-worth? Why do you think most people beat themselves down? And the biggest person that's kind of putting them down in life is themselves.
Right.
And then it's a reflection of how they see the world. Why do you think most people do that to themselves? Why do you think most people don't feel worthy?
I think most people don't feel worthy because they've internalized beliefs about what they think actually brings value to them and determines how worthy they are. And oftentimes what happens is people put that outwardly and think, if I have this, then I will be worthy. When I have this job, when I have this boyfriend, when I close this deal, I will be worthy of love and belonging. I will be seen in the world. Mm. And the reality is you are worthy as is. No one else can assign your worth, only you can. Yet too often people put that outside and assume that other people will assign that to them when they can't.
I love that. I think that's so true. And I'm always curious to know, when did you give yourself the gift of knowing that you're worthy? Because that's a tipping point in all of our lives, that if we do get to that place where we give ourselves the gift, because that's really what you're doing. Only right. you can give it to yourself. You were just saying, right, but we try to reach out, we try to get other people. If this happens, yes. then I'll give it to me. But when did it happen for you? When did you give yourself the gift of feeling worthy?
It actually happened to me last year, and it wasn't something I found for myself. Somebody else illuminated that for me. Mm. I have a good friend of mine that I've known for many years, who's known me since high school, saw me through all this experience, right, of falling down and rebuilding. And she pointed out to me, she said, Audrey, you've been working really hard for a long time. When are you going to stop fighting and realize you're over the hump? You're already there. When are you just going to learn to actually enjoy what you have? Why does it have to always be so hard? And I took a look around me and I did some moral inventory and I said, you're right. It doesn't have to be this hard. I'm fighting for things because I've been stuck in this fight mode for so long that I don't have to fight for anymore. And that's when I really started giving myself permission to live in this place of, okay, I've got this. I'm good.
Give it up for the good friends, right?
Yes.
Audrey Bellis is my guest right now. She's the founder of Startup DTLA as well as the founder of Worthy Women. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Again, Audrey Bellis is joining me right now, and we're talking about feeling worthy. Yep. And it's something that maybe some people are kind of like, I'm a man, I feel worthy. But deep down inside of us, I think the reason why most of us don't fulfill our potential in life is because we're afraid that if we reach for it and we don't get it, we aren't worthy.
Right.
And I think most people would rather settle for a life of comfort and security than to reach for their deepest, biggest dreams and not achieve them. Because if you don't, and you reach for your dreams and you don't achieve them, you're a failure.
Right.
And you're not worthy. And that's some real stuff right there. So what do you think is the key to recognizing that no matter what, you are worthy in life? So that people can give it to themselves, because that's all that you can have.
So I like to use the line, the relationship that I have with you is a direct reflection of the relationship that I have with myself.
Powerful.
And what is the relationship that I have with myself? How do I show up at work? How do I show up in my life? You touched on this idea of people are too scared to go out and get it. And so they play small and they live small. And we look at that and we say, oh man, you're just staying there in the comfort zone. The reality is that comfort zone eats them alive. It's the one thing that sends people into midlife crisis or whatever crisis that they're having. It makes them drink too much. It makes them fight too much with their partners. Mm. It makes the reasons why they cheat, lie, steal, control, manipulate. It doesn't not show up in their lives. It shows up every way and tortures them daily. One of the things about self-mastery is you're never going to achieve perfection.
What you recognize on the journey, and that's when you realize I'm already perfect to begin with.
Absolutely, and I think the biggest key to that is acceptance. You are enough as is, not when, you are enough now.
Yeah.
Not despite your imperfections, but because of them.
I love that. Audrey, you're amazing. I think this segment's really heartfelt and touching because I'm sure it's going to move a lot of people in a different way than some of our other segments. So I appreciate you for opening up, sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.